Hi there, it's time for lesson two. Well, let's talk about the fundamentals, how to create effective spell bottles or witches bottles, whichever you like to call them. Some people like to call them magic bottles. Any way is good for you. But let's talk about how we're going to not just, make something, but make something amazing. Here's the thing. I think that anybody can read the directions and bake chocolate chip cookies. But there's some chocolate chip cookies that are just gonna absolutely knock it out of the park. You're gonna feel the love. You're gonna feel the energy. You're gonna feel the nurturing that went into making them. And it's the same thing with your spell bottles. Each time you're gonna make something different. No two spell bottles are ever going to be the same. The energy that you put into them, it's gonna be affected by the moon, the cycles of the moon, the day that you make your spell bottle on. I like to make my spells on either the full moon or on the new moon. But you might prefer to do it in between for whatever reason. There's all types of different energies with moon cycles that you might be filtering through. Or maybe it's about a special date for you. Maybe it's about a birthday or an anniversary or making something on a special date in history that holds the energy of what it is exactly that you're trying to accomplish. The most important thing that I find before doing any ritual practice, whether it be spell bottles or candle magic or whatever have you, I think one of the most important things is to get grounded. Now, you may or may not know how to ground yourself. Grounding is also known as something called earthing. It's a therapeutic technique that involves doing activities that ground you or electrically connect you to the earth. The reason why we want to do this is because our energy and our vibration can be raised up, connected to spirit on the other side when we're practicing magic, when we're making spells, when we're doing rituals. We're connecting with our guides, our angels, our loved ones, our team and spirit. And so being grounded is really important. It's a technique that is not only good when you're doing spells, it's just overall good for your mental health and well-being. So being grounded can give you the benefits of health and wellness outside of doing spells, but it's definitely something that you absolutely want to make sure that you are doing when you're creating spells and when you are about to do any sort of connecting work with the energy of the universe. So the first thing is to take a deep breath, to find yourself just relaxed. One of the things that I like to do is visualize that there's a white light that's coming down from above and cascading through my entire body, down my torso, down my legs, out my feet, and then shooting into the earth. And then I see that cord wrapping around a giant rose quartz or a boulder in the middle of the earth. And then I see it pulling the energy up from the earth and attaching just to the bottom of my feet. The reason why I do it just to the bottom of my feet is a medium that I used to know told me that grounding had been done before by someone she knew, and it was a visualization. She was seeing that the cord was wrapping itself around her ankles, and within a few months, she actually had bruises on her ankles from that visualization. Now, if you're not someone who likes to sit still, if you're not someone who really enjoys visualizing things, there's other ways that you can get grounded as well. One of them is by walking bare feet. So if you've ever been outside on a warm, sunny day and you just like want to feel the grass and want to feel the earth beneath your feet, that's because you're being called intuitively that you need more grounding. So whether it's grass, whether it's sand, even if it's mud, it doesn't matter. It's just about getting your skin to touch the natural ground with beneath you is such a grounding technique. The other thing you can do is lie on the ground. And I really like when I'm laying on the grass or on the ground to lean up against a big tree because that is so grounding. Think about trees and how strong and rooted they are into the earth. So that's getting skin to earth contact by laying on the ground. You can do it in the grass, you can do it in a park, you can do this anywhere. You just have to make sure that you're not laying on an anthill. The next thing to do to get grounded is submersing yourself in water. So if you're like me, I'm definitely a water baby. I've always enjoyed swimming and being in the water, but I love bathing. For me, it's just like unthinkable to go to bed without having a bath. I find that sitting in the water is very grounding for me. It pulls us into the moment and it just brings us to exactly where we are. So it can be swimming in natural water, it can be swimming in a pool. Don't overthink it. Obviously, it's better if you're in natural waters, but whatever feels right to you. And nowadays there's grounding equipment. You can get a grounding mat, you can get a grounding sheet, there's grounding socks, there's grounding bands and patches. So you can definitely look into those as well. I think personally, for me, the visualization, if you can't get outside, or Mother Earth is going to be one of the biggest things. Also, drinking water and eating is very grounding, because when you're eating, you're in the moments you are in and you're being very earth-centered and based. Grounding can help with chronic fatigue. Studies have reported that by getting grounded, it's helping you with fatigue. It can help with chronic pain. It can help with anxiety and depression. It can help with sleep disorders. It can help with cardiovascular disease. There's all kinds of things that can help you when it comes to grounding. But one of the biggest things it's going to do is keep you rooted and based in the now to help you perform that spell that you're going to need to do with your witch's bottle. So that's the first thing I would tell you to do. The next thing I would do when getting prepared is I like to cast a circle. Now, I'm not Wiccan. I would say, you know, religion and spirituality for me is just about spirituality. I'm kind of like a mixing pot of all things. I take the beliefs from any faith and religion and spiritual, you know, belief that resonates with me, and I use that. And so I do like to cast a circle. It can be inside or outside. It can be at any time. I don't call in the corners, which is very Wiccan. And what they'll do is they'll call in the corners of the earth and directions and the elements. That's not something I do, but I will place myself in a white protective bubble of light. I want to purify this space. So the first thing I'll do is I'll place this white protective bubble of light over my altar where I'm going to be building my spell or my witch's bottle. And I will see that it is protected. Sometimes if I'm outside, I'll actually even place down salt or some sage. I'll always smudge my space before I get started. I think that's really important. And I think that that's just something naturally cleansing all of my tools and everything that I'm going to use that allows me to get into sync with, you know, this ability, this connection that I have to Mother Earth and to protection and to being grounded. The next thing is I want to talk with you about in this lesson is charging your spell. I think it's really important to be able to charge your spell. We're going to talk about intentions and charging a little bit more in the next lesson as well with setting your intention. But charging something is really about out with the old and in with the new. So charging is how you introduce beneficial energy with the intention to align to exactly what you want. So when you're surrounded by the energy you intentionally allow, your power in that spell is magnified. So basically your witchcraft or your spell or your ritual is in the use of charging and changing the environment that you're in. So all magic is energy. Everything is made up of energy. I'm energy, you're energy, the chair you're sitting on, the pen you might be holding. And as a witch, you're someone who's aware of your power, that you can exert this power to the flow and the energy that you want to create in your life. So in your daily life, you're going to encounter energy in rocks and trees and buildings and people and animals. And in your practice, you're going to encounter a variety of energies as well. So your personal energy, the energy of spirit guides, angels, elementals, guides, and non-physical entities that you might be working with connected to the universe itself. So some of the energy you encounter, bring into your space, is going to be really beneficial for your practice and some not so helpful. So that's why it's really important for you to ground and for you to cleanse and smudge to begin with, for you to cast your circle, which is just you closing your eyes and visualizing that you're in a circle of white protective light, and then to go on to charge. So charging is the act of filling up an object with a certain type of energy. It can also be called empowering or programming or enchanting. So you can charge a space or an object with your intention, whatever your intention might be. We're going to talk about intention in the next lesson. But think about charging as giving it the energy that it needs to take on the ability to provide and to succeed with what you're needing. So say the object that you're charging is a needle, right? And you want to charge it to carve into the candle wax for the spell to work to help you with more creativity in your life. So what I would do is I would have that needle in front of me, and I would focus my energy onto the needle. I would focus my energy onto just seeing it powering up, almost like turning on a light switch. So, and I would just see that energy going into there with a specific purpose. So choose the object that you want to charge. And it can be anything. It can be a needle, it can be a rock, it can be a shell, it can be a coin. And then once you know that you want to charge it, make a choice about the method that you want to use. So is it a visual charge? Is it the moonlight that you want to rely on? Is it the sunlight? Is it a crystal that you want to put on top of it? Because crystals hold a really powerful energy of their own. So you can use a crystal to charge an object. You could put a crystal on top of your needle and say, I'm going to leave that for 24 hours in the moon. And then I'm going to use that needle to carve into my candle or to put into my witch's bottle because it's going to protect me. And then there's visualization. You can rub your hands together until they feel hot and tingly. And then I close my eyes. And then I spread my hands apart, careful not to fling them apart because you don't want to lose the energy. And then I just see this like energetic bubble coming out of my hands and you can feel it. It feels intense. It feels warm. It feels connected. And I would just put that over top of that object and charge it. No matter what method you want to use, they're all right. Because what you're doing is you're speaking and you're, well, you could be verbally speaking as well. So you could speak out your intention. So you say, I charge this needle through the universal power to bring love into my life. And so it will be, and so it is. So you can speak it, or you can feel it, or you can see it in whatever way that you want to do this is what makes sense. And then cleansing. I smudge before, I smudge afterwards. It's really important to cleanse all your tools and to cleanse everything you're working with. I promise there is going to be a video. And so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be focusing on that as well. I'm going to be going through these steps with you. But for now, these are the fundamentals. So these are the things you need to be thinking about when you're working on making a witch's bottle. I hope that makes sense. I'll see you in the next lesson.